pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
You're listening to the world's greatest relationship podcast.
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make some changes.
We
now that we have hit our 50th episode. We're going to change just sort of the perspective.
Yeah.
What we realized is that when you're talking about relationships, a lot of times you're talking about conflict. And we don't have a lot of conflict.
We don't know about that. Well, not with each other.
Not with each other. And I don't feel like talking shit about exes.
No.
Very often. It does leak out from time to time. I will admit that. But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there's some lessons learned and those will come up. But I think so far at this point, what we've talked about is, you know, sort of how we dealt with conflict mm-hmm. before, as opposed to who started the conflict, what the conflict was about. And nobody wants to get into that. It's poisonous. It's right. Toxic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we're just going to kind of change our angle a little bit and go a little bit more into trying to find a pathway to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And a little less on just how well we get along.
I know. Every time we do an article or a quiz, I'm like, it just doesn't apply to us. Mm-mm. I don't know how to talk about it.
And that can't be that much fun for people to listen to.
And how obnoxious.
So this week on I Told You So, we're going to talk about peace in the Middle East.
Sure. Let's do it.
I mean, I'm all for the two-state solution. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm not all for talking about that.
No. I mean, that's conflict of a different level that doesn't belong in this show.
It is. This is my favorite show to record. The left show is harder for me.
Oh, it's because it's all bad news.
It is. It's just sometimes it gets overwhelming.
I can agree to that. I mean, that's why we lost Sergeant Jake.
Yeah.
He just was like, I can't take the bad news anymore. I'm sick of it. It bums me out. And as somebody who won't see a movie twice that made me sad once, you know, and tries to avoid as much as I can that sort of thing, especially in my entertainment, where it's just like, I mean, okay, so... It's like this.
Okay, tell us what it's like.
So on the left show the other day, I was talking about Simon Sitz, that beautiful, beautiful dog that just passed away,
mm-hmm.
that Isabel takes care of. This was her permanent dog. And he was a foster brother to over 40 other at-risk animals. And he was just a beautiful dog,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had cancer and epilepsy, and they couldn't treat the cancer without the epilepsy just messing him up. So they made the very hard decision to let him go. And I got terribly weepy
mm-hmm.
at it and got comments on the show for the first time in a while.
Really? You did?
I did. I had friends reach out that are like, what the fuck, dude?
Wow.
In a good way. In a good way.
I guess it's not surprising or it doesn't throw me if you get emotional or when you get emotional, because you do. But I don't think you allow other people to see that side of you.
I try not to.
Yeah. Even your kids are like shocked when they see you cry. And I'm like, it's okay. He can cry. He'll be okay.
I didn't for so long. That when Kyla and I went to see Star Trek Into Darkness, and they got to the end that sort of paid homage to Spock dying in Wrath of Khan, which I still think is one of the best scenes that group ever filmed,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know, I triggered on that and shed a tear. And she wouldn't shush about it forever. She still teases me about it. That's the kind of thing that makes me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Simon Sitz, with beautiful Simon, you know, I didn't mean to delve into that, but at some point I remember we were in bed and we were doom scrolling, and I just leaked. I mean, it was messy. You know,
there's a lot of emotion there,
to the point where you rolled over and like, holy shit, are you okay? And I'm like, the dog, this poor dog. I feel so bad. I love this dog.
It is sad. And you make like a bond, this weird, strange bond with them when you watch them so closely in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just Isabel. I believe it's Isabel Cree. I believe that's her name. And now I can't, and now I'm second guessing myself, but that's all right. She's just one of those people that I find overwhelmingly inspiring, mm-hmm. and the work that she does when she fosters animals. And so I'm giving myself into letting myself feel in ways that I have avoided my entire life. You know, I mean, I if you don't mind.
If I don't mind what?
I bring up an ex-girlfriend.
Why would you even ask me? You never ask me that question. Never have you asked me that question.
I just did.
Okay.
You haven't answered.
10 years later.
You just mocked me.
10 years later, you asked the question. Oh, wait, can I bring up an ex? Whoa.
You've never asked me when you bring up ex stories.
Yes, I do. I'm like, well, because I know you don't like them. But I listen to yours, but you don't like to listen to mine.
Yours make me unhappy.
Yours do too.
Oh. So anyway, there was this young woman named Tina that I had a huge crush on for about a year. And she broke up with her abusive boyfriend, who unfortunately had the same name as I did.
Yeah. Is this the one that you wrote poetry for? And wrote... We were talking about it at Black Bear Diner with your sister, and she was laughing, and because you were so heartbroken and devastated, and
I was right. So sad at the termination of that relationship that I moved to another state. I moved from Colorado back to fucking Utah to get some distance on that, and I did. There was some poetry involved, and not very good poetry. And a few letters and stuff like that. But the point that I was going to hone in on was the night that she dumped me. She did it in a public place, which I hate.
Which you do. You've done. Take people out to a public space so they don't yell and scream at you. I know you've done that. Uh-huh.
I don't yell and scream, though.
Well, I'm no, because a- you were in... Because... No, no, not you. But you have taken... others to a restaurant to talk about hard things so it doesn't turn into a screamy yelling match.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm just saying.
Okay. But she took me to the coffee shop that I hung out at and gave me a sad memory to attach to that location.
Oh.
And I was just like, you know what? You appear to have thought this out. Okay, I respect your decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, sorry that I was a disruption. Sort of. I know I didn't say that, but I said something along those lines. And I wished her well. And I grabbed my shit and I left. And I let it stew for a couple of days. I don't think I've told you this. I ended up in the hospital that night. Because to take out my frustrations and my sadness, I ran across what I thought was two skinheads in the park, in Civic Center Park, and decided that I would just vent a little bit.
Right.
So I picked a fight with them, knowing I could take two, and there were more of them. It was dark. I didn't see them. There was about five of them. And so five of us went to the hospital. One guy didn't. I'm pretty sure he hung back. So five of us went to the hospital that night. It was an awful lot of fun. I was in a lot of pain. And then when it got done, you know, that was when I decided it was just time to fucking go. And I moved back to Utah. And it was about 6 months later, I just started writing her letters, you know, about feelings. And I really opened up, and I was as vulnerable as I had ever been. And it wasn't a thing yet. I mean, there was sort of the sensitive 90s ponytail guy thing going on, but we still had societal standards to meet where you don't get all weepy. And with her, I let her know that my feelings were strong, that they still existed, and that, you know, if the opportunity presented itself, I would be more than happy for a second chance to be a better person, to be a better boyfriend. Sure. And she wrote back and she says, I just don't understand this, because when I dumped you, you didn't fight at all. And if you had fought, if you had argued with me, if you had reasoned it out and had a discussion, we probably wouldn't have broken up.
Mm-hmm.
Not fair. Not fair.
I mean,
it's what was I supposed to do? You know, when someone that I cared for and respected laid out her logic and said, this is what I think is best for me. Is it my place to argue? Or is it my place to be like, okay, this is what you want. This is, you can have it.
It's
here,
not,
you go.
No, I don't. It's not arguing, but it's having an open and honest conversation about how you feel. And if she doesn't know, she can't make her best decision either. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's arguing with somebody who wants to break up with you, but it's like, let's get it all on the, you know, let's put it all out there and then make the decision.
Well, in retrospect, you know, it seems like I blew it. But to be honest, I was being true to myself and my interactions with women.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, they're in charge. What they say goes, because I am bigger and I am stronger, and that's not fair.
No does not mean convince me.
Exactly. So when she said, I'm going back to my abusive ex-boyfriend, I'm like, well, fuck. If I can't compete with that asshole, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Have a life. Best of luck to you. Enjoy it. And then to find out a year and a half later that not only was it very much too late, but that had I behaved in a way diametrically opposed to fuck, even how I was raised, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't come up with my decision to be respectful to women other than I was raised in a household where that was the rule. You know, my dad taught me his version of how to be a man. And that has always been, be respectful, be as nice as you can, you know, try not to argue. And if they want something reasonable, they should have it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, what, I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I don't know where the story, like, I don't know. I don't know where I lost you. What was our original, what was the original thought?
I have no idea.
Okay.
None at all. Thanks for calling me out on that.
It's story time really with Jeff, audio. Y'all. I'll just sit here.
Look, as I have said many, many times, I have severe ADD. Because that's what I was diagnosed with. I have not been diagnosed with ADHD. Mine's old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of that. It's the same as with my diabetes. It's I have the kind you earned.
Yeah, you not, worked hard for it.
Not that silver spoon juvenile onset. No, I got the fat beaties. But I've taken us off again. I'm just wandering around. I'm not entirely sure what the hell we're supposed to be doing right now. It's a new show. We thought we could wing it. I have obviously blown it. So you're in charge.
Okay. Well, we were going to talk about, we were going to give updates. We didn't do that at the beginning.
No, we haven't done that yet.
Yeah. So do you want to tell me like how the last couple of weeks have been for you? A high and a low?
Oh. Honestly, you are moving toward starting your own party planning business. And to do that, you are testing parties on family right now. And we went to celebrate our soon to be hopefully son-in-law.
Yeah.
And he likes sharks. So you did a shark themed party for him. Mm-hmm. And you made homemade coral,
which is so ridiculous. I know how this sounds.
No, but you went out. We figured out how to do it.
I did.
You did all the research. You know, we went to the store. We bought the insulation foam. Mm-hmm. You did a first round. I thought they looked great, and you're like, I hate them. They're garbage. So you did a second round, and they looked different, and they were also good.
Yeah, it's like the first pancake, you know?
No, I don't think so. I think the first ones looked great.
Well, I learned how to do them in a more efficient way that going forward, if I ever make coral again, I won't. But
you never know. There's a lot of mermaid parties and shit that'll probably pop up.
Yeah.
So anyway, you've been practicing. And you're putting together your resume so we have stuff to put on a website and this and that and the other. And
pictures
that it fills out.
And
yeah.
Different things.
So... even though it was 102 degrees.
Oh my God. The hottest day of the summer. It was supposed to be the hottest weekend of the year.
Yeah. And we did it at an outside pavilion at a lovely little park in Murray, Utah, which is pretty much the halfway mark between the warm Siberia we live in and the weird northern climes that they all live in.
Yeah.
So Murray is our demarcation line.
Well, we have no other place to go because we have so many kids. We have 7 kids, right? 4, 5, 7 kids. And then we have their significant others that come.
Yes.
And then, you know, once in a while we get a friend in there.
Yeah.
Or two. I love it, but we just don't have a place big enough to hold everybody. And it makes me so sad. I don't know. We tried to rearrange furniture and put tables in weird places, and we made it work for Christmas, but we didn't have all the kids with us either.
Yeah. Yeah. And neither of us wants to go all the way to Logan.
Where's Logan? I mean...
Layton. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Did it again.
You did that on purpose.
I did. So, which is also a funny story, in a really headachey way.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's probably my highlight was the party, mm-hmm. because I just really, really had a great time.
It was really fun, and I just had to let the heat go. And the kids never complained once. I didn't hear anybody, except for me, complain about the weather. I was sweating so bad, I just couldn't stop. It was just so hot.
It was extremely hot. But the party was amazing. It looked fantastic. The food worked out just fine.
I was so worried about the food, and you mastered it. Like, you figured out, you did all of the food, which helped me so much.
I just warmed it up. I just did that. That's all I did. I really didn't do much.
I know, but who wants to sit over a griddle and flip tater tots in 100 degree weather?
Not me.
I know, but you did.
Well, yeah, somebody had to.
I know. You're just so thoughtful. You just like jumped in and just did whatever needed to be done. You never complained. You just always had my back, and it was so fun. There was no stress. I think in the past I've been stressed with like events sometimes.
Yeah.
I get a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But I just haven't felt like that with these parties.
No. No, as to my low, just busting my ass trying to find work, busting my ass on work that I can find as a freelance. Mm-hmm. Slow pay clients are the worst. I've been working with 2 different clients this last month. One is amazing. You know, she's fantastic. She's dynamic, and she pays on time. You know, and mm-hmm. the other one is historically pretty good at not ever paying his bills.
Taking advantage. He's
yeah.
great at taking advantage.
And so that's probably my low point, is it's like, you asked me to do the work. You said that you'd pay me. We have an agreement. And then the work's done, and I'm suddenly in the they're going to steal it phase.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me with party stuff a little bit. And I have to figure out how to share ideas and like storyboards. What do you call them?
Storyboard's a good one.
Yeah, just for examples, basically. Like, here's three ideas. But the problem was, under each idea, I had like what the decor would be and what the food could be and what the themes, all of that.
Yeah.
And the problem was that she then took that and did her own thing, because I saw pictures of the party and I'm like, well, that was mine. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy for the experience. I liked working with her and trying to figure out some spots where I can improve on paperwork and different things like that. But
yeah. And it is. I mean, it comes down to it. It's simplify. I've been complaining online about interview opportunities where they give you really, really labor intensive homework.
Mm-hmm.
And one that popped up wanted a 1, 3, and 5 year marketing plan for the business before they would agree to an interview. And that's like $2,500, $3,500
worth of work. That's horseshit.
Yeah, it really is. And you're delving in, and it takes about a week and almost full time to get it all done if you do it for real. And it's just like, one of the pieces of advice that my dad gave me as I was growing up is, he's like, never work for free. Mm. And it's the one piece of advice that I have both intentionally and unintentionally ignored most of my life.
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
And especially for you, I think, because one, you're so good at it. And I feel like you can do it faster than most people.
I'm pretty quick.
Yeah. But you also wanted like just help people, and because you can do those things, you just want to do them.
Yeah.
For people.
It's apparently a side effect of my ADD.
You're a very kind person.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
You are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Okay. What are your highs and lows, babe?
Let's see. The party was really fun. I loved leading up to it and like doing some craft stuff for it and getting it together. So yeah, definitely the party. And it was fun to have like our moms there. And anyway, I just love having all the kids together. We painted on canvas, and it was fun to see all their different paintings.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I want to tell this story.
Okay.
Okay. So we get to the park and we want to be a little bit early because we have lots of stuff to set up. But we don't want to be too early because it's hot as fuck. So we get there and we're sitting in the car with the AC just kind of waiting for time, you know, until we can set up. And there's this man on in front of us on the grass. And he's like taking a little nap, having a little meditation.
Yeah. Okay. He was drunk.
Okay. Sure.
And he was.
Okay, I know, but I just feel bad like saying this is a drunk guy, and you know, like, I don't know.
There was a drunk dude taking a nap on the ground at the pavilion.
Yeah.
Okay.
For so long, like, he was just there, and he'd had a big gulp that was empty. That
because we were insanely early.
Yeah, we were.
So we were there for a little while, and now you've let everybody know that we broke Murray's idling ordinance.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay. So anyway, So,
but then also next to us, we have a vehicle, and there's like nobody there except for this man. It's like pretty empty kind of park.
Yeah.
And so there's this car next to us and a lady in the passenger seat.
Playing with her phone.
Yeah. She's playing with her phone. The windows were all down and they just stayed there for the longest time. And I'm like, this is so weird.
And there was a third lady.
Well, but first he got up. Remember, we're like, you can do it, buddy. can do it. Stand up. Oh, nope. He didn't do it. Next time. Anyway, he finally stood up. Well, he's walking past the car, past your side of your door, and he's getting really close. I'm just aware, and I watch him, and he looks like he's going to open the back door. And I said, he's going to open the door. Babe, he's going to open the door. He didn't open the door. But what he did was go around the car and open the back door of this car next to us.
Yes.
And it freaked me the fuck out. I just was so worried for this lady's safety that I got out just to make sure she was okay. And then pretty soon his mom came and took him home. It's just the weirdest.
It's you throw the door open.
Yeah.
Ma'am, do you know this man? I'm sorry, what? Do you know this man?
Are you okay? Are you safe?
He's my husband. And she was waiting for him to sober up enough to climb into the back of the car.
Oh.
And then the mother was sitting in the pavilion.
I didn't see her.
I had seen her walk in at one point and then just never and didn't see her. And then she came over and then they knocked on the window.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, I'm sorry for my son. And we're both like, no.
We just wanted to make sure you all were okay.
And he's like, yeah, I appreciate that. That's pretty funny. I almost got in your car.
Meditation, man. Takes it right out of you.
Yeah. But it's just funny to me. It was just how quickly you sprung into danger.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see him climbing in the car. I really wasn't paying attention to him.
Yeah.
If he'd gotten in the car, I would have been like, wrong car, pal. You know, and not really worried about it because it doesn't. I didn't see him as a threat.
Right.
To the me.
Privileged. Yes.
Or
yes.
To us. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him as a threat because all the doors were locked. It was not that big a deal. You know, and then you saw him trying to get into the car next to us. And you've done this sort of thing before. That's how you knew what our neighbor looked like naked.
Oh, oopsies. I thought somebody was in trouble up here.
Yep. You heard yelling and screaming from the apartment above us. You just fucking left. You didn't even tell me you were going. You just fucking out the door, up the stairs.
Yeah,
you opened their door and went into their house. Hello?
I knocked first, but she was like, somebody was like screaming,
yeah,
scream crying. And it scared me. And I'm like, what happens if something is happening upstairs and people just ignore it? They just pretend, oh, we didn't hear anything. That's awful.
Yeah. No, you are brave beyond reason.
Well, you don't really think. Like, I always tell myself, how would I respond if this is to happen? So I'm prepared for it, you know?
And that just boils down to different life experiences.
Is
I looked at this guy and I'm like, nah, I can take him. And therefore just let him be in my periphery and just went back to my book,
mm-hmm.
You know? And you're like, this is a danger. I must confront the danger. And then you did. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening? What is this?
Oh my God. It was like we were staying in this really shady hotel, shady motel, extended stay.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I don't know where you were.
I was at work.
You were at work. It was late and I was trying to go to bed. And then all of a sudden there's like this banging and this woman is just crying. Like hysterical crying.
In the next room.
And so I'm like, oh my God, my window was open or something. I could just hear everything. And it was just
the walls were shitty.
Oh, it really scared me. Like I'm like, there's something happening. So I go out, I knock on the door. A guy answers and I look behind and I said, is everything okay? And I look behind, actually, I didn't even say it to him. I looked behind him and saw her sitting there crying like on the floor. And I'm like, are you okay? I asked her, are you okay? Do you want to come and like hang out, you know, with me for a little bit or like whatever, you know, like I was trying to give her an out, like if she needs help.
Yeah.
Well, I should have brought a key with me because unfortunately
you want to come hang out outside my door?
Yeah. I was hanging outside her door for a while until you were able to get home. Probably 2 hours. Or something in like the weirdest, craziest motel ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That was nuts. That is that was nuts. Because he confronted you later in the hall and called you names, as I recall.
I even remember.
When I wasn't around. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll get back on the other side. We got some articles.
Awesome.
Okay. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. It occurs to me we didn't do your low.
Oh, my low?
Yeah.
Let's see.
The 2 days after the party, maybe?
Yeah, the day after. I didn't have any seizures on, we did it on a Sunday. And it was an all-day thing.
Yeah.
We got home at 10. No seizures that day, but the next day I was really hurting. It was not a good day. In fact, it started off by I needed your help just to get from the bed to the bathroom because I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre, and we're going to do an update.
This would be a good time for that if...
Yeah. If you don't mind hearing this all again.
I don't. Okay. No, that's what I'm here for. I'm kind, remember?
You are. No, things are going... So on Monday, it was really bad and things were hard and it carried over to Tuesday. But I feel like I'm having more good days than I was.
Yes.
Not more than the bad days, but I do see there is a difference. And the specialist that I'm seeing, I was seeing him once a week and now it's a little longer in between, but he specializes in FND. And he was saying that if your seizures change, if in any way, it's positive.
Yes.
So, which I wouldn't think. He's like, if they get shorter, but they happen more often, it's okay. If they're longer and then happen less, it's okay. Any change is positive. So I have that. What was my...
Well, you going back a couple of months, you know, your seizure routine was 5 to 7, sometimes longer, minutes, mm-hmm. you know, and you'd have one and you'd have a few minutes in between and you'd have another. Now they're about 1 to 3 minutes and you do sometimes just have more. You know, a couple of days ago, you had like 6 in a row in a 15-minute period, mm-hmm. you know, but they are shorter. And the pain noise that you make when you come out of your seizure is less than it used to be.
Yeah.
You're still having them. It's still fucking awful. It's difficult to watch and to be there and to know there's just nothing I can do but wait until you come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine the ones that really, you know, they're all bad and they all make me sad. But the ones where you're aware, where your eyes are open, and you know, you you make different noises when you're having an aware seizure.
Yeah.
And they are so sad. They're so very sad. They just,
I keep telling myself, like, I talk to myself when I'm feeling okay and saying, okay, when this happens, when I feel this way, I need to remember everything's okay. Just breathe. It will pass. You know, I go through it in my head.
Yeah.
So when it happens, I feel like it's helped me a lot with the seizures, with not getting so emotional about them.
Yeah.
And not focusing so heavily on all the seizures you do, and you track them for me, because I have to track them, but we just don't make a big deal out of them anymore.
Yeah. It take away their power.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we went, where were we going? Oh, we went to see a movie because you have the best friends.
Yes.
I have the best friends because of him. So we go to see Spider-Man, and I was not feeling good that morning. I thought I was going to have a seizure. I felt off. My like symptoms, the movements of my muscle movements and stuff and tics. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm going to stay home and not like do anything ever, you know?
Yeah.
So we took a chance and went to the movies, and it was great. There was a moment where I thought, okay, this could happen. And I tried to make a plan, and it did, and it worked, and it was big deal.
Your plan was to let me know something was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gave me your arm and said, hold my arm.
Yeah.
And I did. And it was an effort, because had I let you go, you would have slugged the dude sitting to your left side.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah. And so I held on to you, and your arm just pulled and pulled and pulled. And your muscles get so tight. You're very strong.
Yeah. I used to be stronger.
Well, you're still very strong. And then it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And you finished the movie. We didn't leave.
Nope.
And you were, I mean, not okay, but you knew what had happened.
Yes.
And you're like, I choose to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because fuck these seizures.
Exactly. It almost felt like kind of a win for me, because I went anyway when I was nervous.
And I gave you several opportunities for us to just not go.
Oh, I didn't want to disappoint you. You were so excited.
I know, but you're more important than Spider-Man.
Well, I know. But yeah, it did feel like a win just to be able to go out and know that if it happens, it's okay. It's not that it's embarrassment. It just feels so like I'm being so dramatic. Like having seizures in public seems so dramatic to me. Like, take that drama home, girl. Like, what are you doing? Having seizures at a theater.
But it was fine. Nobody noticed but you and I.
Yeah, I slid my feet in between us, so my legs in between us, so they'd stay down as well. And it worked. It was good. It's always good to have a plan. We had a plan on the park day too. If I got too hot, well, it was hot. If it got too hot, I was going to go sit in the car, cool off.
Which was a fight.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, if we're looking for conflict, it's me telling you to go sit in the car for a few minutes and you being, yeah, but.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but. There were so many yeah, buts.
It's so hard for me because I feel like I'm missing out. You know, I don't want to miss out on all of our kids sitting at the table together. I don't want to miss out on those conversations. And I want to see what they're painting, and I want to hear what they're talking about.
We were there for 3 hours. You could have taken 5 minutes in the car.
I know. And that's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to work on and get better at. My doctor was saying that you need to schedule breaks, like schedule your rest time throughout the day, schedule your bathroom breaks, how long you're taking after doing each thing. So it's something I have to work on, but it's really hard to plan rest time because you don't know what you're going to be doing. I don't know what's going to exhaust me. Is it mental exhaustion? Is it going to be physical exhaustion? I just don't know. Yes, physical exhaustion.
I'll physically exhaust you.
You do. My legs have already had a workout. But no, you're convinced that it's the cure-all.
I believe that it is. I believe that it is. I believe that physical attention is going to cure everything.
Well, it does make me happy.
Yeah. This is me trying to have this particular part of the talk without losing family members that were listening. Because we've been told before that it's like, oh, when you two start talking about sex, I'm out.
I don't feel like we do that often. Maybe I talk about sex all the time.
Well.
Even at lunch with friends, like they'll say, we missed you, Tiffany. All your inappropriate comments and sex talk. I don't feel like I do that
you
a
do.
Lot.
You do. Huh. I promise.
I believe you. Only because somebody else mentioned it too. Willoughby, Doug mentioned it.
Did he?
And yeah, I was like, oh shit, I should pay attention.
I like Doug.
I love Doug.
Terribly fond of that guy.
Yeah.
He and Sarah are just, this is like the third time I've called them out on one of the shows too. I just can't get over how much I adore them.
Mm-hmm.
and what wonderful, just caring people that they are. They're they really are. They give me hope for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, they really do. They give me hope in the present that with everything that's going on, they can still be as fucking wonderful as they are, as amazing, understanding, sympathetic mm-hmm. as they are. They're just wonderful, wonderful people and hashtag blessed to have them in our lives.
Yeah, we definitely are. And we have so many people like that in our lives. Different that support us in different ways, but show up big for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's humbling.
We're very lucky.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do an article.
Let's do it.
Let's do. Here's one. This one's cheesy. Like I said, we're making changes. They're going to filter in.
We're working on it.
Changing the scope doesn't change the previous research. So this is an article from a website called Your Tango, Revolutionizing Your Relationships.
Ooh.
Your Tango. Is good. Yes. Yes. People who share deep love for each other usually do these 10 things casually in everyday life. This is written by Susie Pettit.
Okay.
Just earlier, but number one, they love each other unconditionally. That's a tricky phrase.
It's
for me
definitely tricky. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah,
that is a hard one because there should be conditions. You can love somebody but have expectations and
boundaries
and
conditions. But in this one, what she's saying is that unconditional love is choosing to love your spouse no matter what, than actually loving them no matter what. You love them whether they bring the garbage out or not. You love them whether they help you with the kids in the way that you want or not. Your spouse is in your life to love. Mm-hmm. You know? You do, and I know I do, stuff that I don't want to say annoying because we never go that far, but, we both do things that give the other pause.
Oh, everything I do right now is so obnoxious. Like, I can't even stand myself.
I don't understand this.
My ice. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize I knew somebody chewing ice all the time is very annoying, but I had it recorded. I was chewing while I was recording something. And so I heard it myself and I was like, oh my God, this is so, so annoying. I should stop, but I don't. And I do it in bed right next to you.
Yeah.
Trying to sleep. And all my tics, I feel like I make noises now.
You are making more noises. That is true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Odd noises that make me go, are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know. That hasn't been an issue for me in the past, but.
Number two, they notice all the reasons they adore one another. Mm-hmm. I think we do this,
mm-hmm.
Because when we're not together in a room, there's a pretty good chance that part of my brain is occupied thinking about you and all the things about you that I just think are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's new for me. As sort of a lifelong cynic, you know, I was constantly looking for, you know, doom signals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that with you. And I like that I don't do that with you.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
You definitely could. I mean, if you were looking, you could definitely find stuff.
Yeah, what's the point?
I agree. I mean, I saw that in the beginning of our relationship, and I've seen that show up for me in past relationships, that I let little things like bother me. And I, one, either need to talk about it,
yeah,
and communicate that and figure it out, or two, I have to let that shit go, and I can't like hold on to that.
Yeah.
Like little, like something stupid, like little sugar packets. It drove me crazy.
Yeah.
But now I don't care. I'm like, you know what? I'll put my sugar packet next to your sugar packet.
My sugar packets go buddies. In the trash now.
No, they go in a cup. There's a coffee cup up there with wrappers in it.
Yeah, all those wrappers are for you taking the jug-sized Crystal Light and turning it into smaller-sized Crystal Light. None of those are mine. Those were all half-filled two-quart Crystal Lights that you left on the counter.
I thought it was garbage, and I was like so proud of myself. I'm like, okay, I'm in it. I'll put my packet with his. Let's do this.
Nope, those are all yours. Sorry. That's all right. No, I, you and Brinley both got on my case about the sugar packets, mm-hmm, when we were at the old apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have made a concerted effort to no longer bindle them and just toss them in and then empty them once a week.
You really do. You have done that.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And I think I told you pretty early on in our relationship that it was important for me to acknowledge and not take you for granted, like those things that you do for me.
Well, I mean, I think the same way. I don't think I've had it as a conscious thought. It's just how I've behaved, you know, and that's it. It's like, there are aspects that could just climb all over my subconscious,
mm-hmm,
and it's no longer an effort, which is nice because we have an atmosphere of trust with one another,
mm-hmm,
where we can just open up and be like, you know what? I got a problem. And that's healthy and that's new.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have regret that I didn't have these behaviors much, much earlier in my life.
Mm-hmm.
How many or, you know, fewer apologies do I feel like I need to make had I been honest and communicative instead of emotionally unavailable and stoic? You know, yeah. I'm not a big fan of stoicism. And I know that it's all the rage on guys that don't feel comfortable coming up to alpha male stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still looking for ways to be manly. You know?
Yeah.
I am what I am. And I've decided to let myself feel the full range of emotions. It's, in my humble opinion, we got one fucking round on this rock. And I spent 50 years denying myself the availability of how I felt, you know, and how I reacted. And, you know, there's a lot of apologies that I feel like I need to make to people that had been in my life earlier when I was like that.
When you know better, you do better, though. And that is true for you. You've made changes, positive changes along the way when needed.
I try.
Yeah, you really do. I think the other thing in this last one we were talking about is that you have the safety to be vulnerable and share that. Because I think I can speak for you on this.
Go ahead.
I feel like you always have my best interest. And if you say something that hurts my feelings, I will tell you that it hurts my feelings, but never that I never feel like you were intentionally trying to hurt me, if yeah. that makes sense. There's no bad intention there. It's just a communication thing.
Yes, I am sometimes a little overly blunt. You know, I just get the point out as quick as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's got a lot to do with the training over the last 15 years of doing these podcasts, is I have to fill the silence.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have to fill the silence, you open your mouth and dipshit flies out.
That's probably why I talk about sex so much. Just, I can't have the silence. I have to talk about something. And I guess it's sex.
Okay.
It's true.
There's other stuff to talk about, you know.
I guess I can't think of that at the time.
That's fair. Mm. Number three. I don't know if we're going to have time to finish this article. Deeply in love people don't try to change each other. I don't want you to change. There are things about you that I wish would change, like your seizures. Mm-hmm. I wish those would just go the fuck away.
Right.
Like your kidney stones. I wish those would just go the fuck away. You know, but that's not a personality shift. You are who I love, and I want you to be that person. Now, as we grow older and we go onward and years pass, we change as people.
Yes.
You know, but none of that from me to you is an expected change. Mm-hmm. I don't want your personality to alter because I just adore it right now, you know, and watching you grow and watching you learn new things and new skills and all that, like, especially as you're headed towards, you know, wanting to open up your own business, you know, you're making changes and I'm all for them because they are positive changes. They are empowering changes for you. And that's important to me, but you know, do I want you to change? No.
No.
Of course not.
I think this happens a lot, and not thinking like you want to change somebody's whole personality, but it's like, man, there's this thing that really bugs me and I hate it and I need you to stop. And it's somebody's like, not personality, but just like a trait they have or something that they small that they do.
My red flag over the years was trying to take away something that brought me joy. You know, when I was in a writer's group and was just fucking banging out chapter after chapter and things were going great. And I was motivated because I had deadlines and deadlines are awesome. And that got taken away from me, you know, mm-hmm. And it was just like, you're an asshole. You're selfish. I can't believe that you're spending time doing something that brings you joy.
Yep.
And so no more of that.
Oh, I've seen this in your life show up so many ways. Did you know that?
No.
Sorry, what was the sentence that you just said before?
About bringing joy, about being having joy taken away from me because...
Yeah, the thing with happiness and joy is, I don't know if you feel like you don't deserve it. Obviously, it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you won't talk about it. Like, you won't share it. And I always wonder, like, why? Because you don't want your kids to see that. I don't know. It's strange to me. Like,
this is probably toxic masculinity, but I need my kids to know that I can handle anything they throw at me.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, part of that is the presentation of strength. And in the way that I came up, in the society that I came up with, strength is silent. You know, it is stoic. It is standing still in the middle of a storm as something mm-hmm. solid that my kids can grasp onto at any time. And if they know that I'm more fucked up than they are, I don't want to give them the opportunity to think thoughts like, oh shit, dad's going through a lot. Maybe I ought to talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that because I have this problem with my kids. I'm trying to be more aware of that. I don't share information that I should share with them. And my therapist told me, you know, if you don't give them the story and tell them, they'll come up with a story in their head of what the truth is and what it looks like. So it is important to like be honest with your kids about stuff like that. But I guess what makes me sad though with you is that it seems like the happiness and the joy part is one that you don't tend to share with your kids. And I was like, oh, he had such a good day. And Kyla's like, well, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, we had so much fun. But it's like, you don't want people to know that you're having fun. I don't know.
I feel guilty when I'm happy.
Oh, that's awful. That's an awful feeling.
I don't care for it. Now that I've said it out loud, I'm like, I don't like this. This isn't fun for me. I'll work on it. I will. now that we are finishing the prompt of people don't try to change each other, and you just pushed me to make a change. So they don't expect, number four, they don't expect the other person to meet every need. I don't know that you're there. Because every time I walk out of the room, you're like, are you going downstairs? Will you grab me 7 cups worth of stuff?
I know. More ice that I can be obnoxious with and chew in your ear.
I need more ice. I need something to drink. I need some milk.
I know.
Do we have a snack?
Well, the crazy thing is, like, I'm fine with the stairs, but I've been noticing, like, randomly, my legs will just give out. It's like I have no legs and I just fall to the ground.
I have found you on the landing at the bottom of the stairs before.
Yes, and that's happened.
It scares the shit out of me.
It scares me too, especially when I have things in my hand. Like, I don't know. I just...
No, I get it.
Yeah.
It's spooky when your body betrays you.
And really, if I'm being honest, the milk, the crystal light, and the ice always taste better when you bring them to me.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I get that. Number five, they communicate like adults. I'm better at that now than I was before. I'm not great at it yet. I'm still working on it. But it is nice to be able to be like, we need to talk. And to not be frightened by that phrase.
And to know that you're not going to be called dames. You're not going to be like torn down. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. We just have a chat. Mm-hmm. It's nice. I do care for it. Number six, people who share deep love drop the expectations. This may be the most important rule. This requires you to get clear about your beliefs about what a relationship should be like and what a mate should or should not do. In my past relationships, she says, I had a lot of expectations. Things like he should be more thoughtful. He should want to hold my hand more. He should be more romantic. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be romantic.
Oh, you're way more romantic than I am.
What?
Don't you think?
I don't know.
Would you say I'm romantic? I don't think I'm romantic.
Not particularly.
No.
No. But I didn't think I was. Mm.
You say really sweet things and I don't know.
Is that romantic? I guess I don't understand romantic. Let's see what Google has to say.
What do they say about expectations or just future planned disappointments or something like that?
Expectations or future disappointments?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that.
And it can always get you in trouble. It's true. It's like having unrealistic or even unrealistic expectations. Like, how is your partner supposed to know if you don't communicate that?
The word romantic means relating to love, showing strong affectionate feelings, or having ideas that are dreamy and not practical. You're very romantic.
Wait, I'm not. I'm very practical.
Are you?
Am I not?
Are you? No. No, you're not.
Yeah, okay.
You're not. And I love it. This is not a criticism. This is just an observation. But yeah, love and affection. Connected to feelings of being in love, dating, or showing physical or emotional attraction. Well, I definitely got you on physical. How you doing? Huh? How you doing?
I could be better.
Yep, you could. That's my line.
I know.
How you doing? I'm fine. You could be better. I'm okay.
Do you know what cures seizures? Yes, I've heard this before.
Yes. Yes, and I'm still convinced that I'm right. Dreamy and idealistic, having big, beautiful ideas about life or love that do not match real everyday facts. We're not like that.
Mm-mm.
No. Art and history, related to the 18th and 19th century art and music movement. We don't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Right. See, I think you're romantic.
Okay.
You say sweet things to me. You write me sweet things.
I like doing that.
You do those little things, but to me, they make such a difference. They mean everything to me.
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel better about myself. Number seven, they stop placing blame. That one's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Accountability matters.
It does. It does. And so when you go, we got to talk, and then you talk, and I go, yep, you're right. That's me being accountable.
I had a really hard time being accountable before in relationships. And I think it was a pride thing. Like, I didn't want to admit I was wrong because I felt like they'd hold it over my head or like I'd be punished for it. So
well,
it's easier.
Gee, I wonder where you got that idea from.
I don't know.
But I don't do that. Right?
No.
Okay. What do we got? Number 8. We are at the end of the show. Number 8, they stop complaining. I don't complain about you, but I complain.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it is fair for me to say that from time to time, I get awfully whiny, you know, but you're the person that I whine to because you're my safe space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like to complain, you know, I've made sort of a half-assed career at bitching about things that annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a hard time not doing that, but you know, never about us, never about you. Mm-hmm. I don't have a complaint. I really don't. Except for you should let me try my cure more often. Number 9. People like this don't take each other for granted. You brought that up a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I don't take you for granted. I'm so fucking lucky to have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm going to work as much as I can and as time allows every day to make you know what your value is to me and that your value is ridiculously high.
Yeah, I've never questioned that. You've made me feel like that. You do a really good job.
Oh, look at me.
Look at you.
Yeah. Number 10, they believe in the greatest possible version of their relationship.
Yes.
I love this one. When we talk about the future, it's grand plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my everyday is crushing. You know, I spend 2 hours a day doing custom resumes and custom cover letters and sending out fucking, you know, one goddamn resume after another to little to no effect. Except for garbage, or my favorite is that there are scams now where it used to be, you know, I'm a Nigerian prince, help me get my fortune. Now it's like, here's a job for $18 an hour that kind of matches what you do. And it turns out it's just fraudulent.
Yeah.
You know,
there's so many of those.
And that's it because, you know, I was part of my upbringing, and I won't place blame on this, but was that there was a status to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm busy all the time. I'm always working on something, you know?
If you can lean, you can clean.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is that I don't mind that about myself, but what am I missing in the meantime?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem is that I just, this freelancing is killing me. I mean, it is seriously fucking up my health.
Mm-hmm.
And because you spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day chasing work. And then you have to spend another 4 or 5 hours a day doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you spend another 20 hours trying to get paid for the fucking work, contract or not. You know, it's a big deal. And this isn't a reflection on anything to do with us, but I don't have a support system in place for this particular part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do in so many other ways. I have wonderful friends. I have you. I have wonderful children. I have wonderful stepchildren. You know, I feel as though I am emotionally cared for, and I do, but this thing with work and looking for work and trying to find a permanent gig that allows me the space and opportunity to take care of you at the same time is nigh impossible right now to comprehend without a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But when we talk about our love and our future and what we see, it's always positive, and that's meaningful to me. I really latch onto that and care about it and think that it's important.
It is. And what I said from the very beginning, what I wanted is all of our kids together. I wanted to be able to have all of our kids together, our families together, and just enjoy them and just be.
Yeah.
And it took a long time, but I'm like, we created that. We made it happen. I had all the kids together. That's why it's like such a big deal to me for parties and stuff. It is so hard to get everyone together. And when we can, I just want to take advantage.
And as they get older and move further away, both emotionally and physically, you know, and it becomes more difficult, you're building memories that make them want to return, make them want to come back and spend time. You know, there's happiness in what you do. And when you say we got them together, that's horseshit. That was you. You know, that's you did that work. And I passed on messages. I was helpful, but it was not my effort. That was absolutely your effort.
You did a lot for the party.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about our kids being in the same place.
Oh,
and being
friendly
with one another. Is some of them, it took some work from them, and it took the work that you did to push us all into a unit that could get together at a park in 102 degree weather and still have a great time with nobody complaining.
Oh, I love it. Nothing makes me happier, really, than that.
Okay. We are at the end of our time for the regular show. We're going to pop over to Patreon really quick, and you can join us there at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record, we do special content over there at Patreon for our Patreon fans. And you can be a part of that. It's really, really stupid cheap because I'm bad at charging for stuff that I do.
It's basically free, y'all.
It's pretty close to, yeah. So you can join us over at Patreon. That's where we're going to be until we're back with another episode. I love you, babe.
I love you.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.